Good morning, and welcome to the sixth Sunday of Easter. We hope everyone is doing well. Like to let everyone know that the call committee was installed this past Wednesday via Zoom. It went real well. So we'll be starting the MSP, the ministry site profile. Sherry Proctor's working on that. And we'll get the call committee trained as soon as possible. Scholarship applications will be accepted through May the 31st. If this changes, Joe Davis will post it as soon as possible. The applications can be obtained via email or contact Joe Davis at jrd52768@gmail.com. We're still looking for the scholarship lunch and gift basket raffle is set for May the 24th, apologies. For tickets to that, also contact Joe Davis. Do we have any birthdays for today? Happy birthday to April Bunting, Anissa Stewart, Judy McLean, Amy Horn, Taylor Haynes. Happy anniversary to Wayne and Stacy Conrad, Mickey and Carol Conrad, and Herbert and Debbie Frank. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have
mercy.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you hold together all things in heaven and on earth. In your great mercy, receive the prayers of all your children and give to all the world the spirit of your truth and peace through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Invite the children to come up. Good morning. I brought something back that I've showed you before. You remember seeing this? Remember when we did this? During Lent. Remember? We did going to do a series on Noah's Ark. We only got a couple of sessions in, but it's to talk about Noah's Ark. And what do you see on here? Animals and I'm not sure that's God. Who would it be? Who's the ark? Noah, right? Noah's ark, right. God's there, but I don't think we can see him. What else do you see? Animals? What kind of animals? Okay. Lots of different animals. Little tortoise there, chicken on the end. There's even a dolphin and a duck. The duck's in the water. The dolphin's in the water, so they're not really on the ark. But what was the story about Noah's ark? Do you remember? Yep, he built a boat and then put all the animals on a boat and ordered to save them. Remember, they came on two by two of all the different kinds of animals, and including birds. And what happened then? Great flood, right? Drowned everything that wasn't on the ark. But God saved the people and the animals on the ark. What's your favorite animal, do you think? They don't have to be on this picture, but what's your favorite animal? Turtle. Okay. What's your favorite animal? A deer. Okay. Why do you like turtles?
I
like the color. Okay. Why do you like deer? Yeah, they're kind of unique and different. Okay. Well, the thing about the ark was God wanted to save all the animals because God created all the animals. We usually think of God creating us, but God created everything. And God loves the animals just like he loves us. And he wants us to take care of them and protect them. And I was thinking this week that, and this came up this week because we're going to read a little bit about Noah in the second lesson this morning. When we read the letter from St. Peter to a congregation he was writing to, he talks in there about Noah and the ark. But I was also thinking that today, you know, we also have something that's kind of like an ark in some places because it's seeking to save animals. You know what that is? Where do you see lots of animals? A zoo. And I've heard, North Carolina has a zoo. Have you been to that zoo? Okay. And I've heard somewhere, I don't know if it's true, that that's the largest zoo in the world, because it was built out in a big open area, so there are lots of room for the animals to move around and all. The reason I say that zoos are a little bit like an ark is that some animals are endangered in the wild, and not many of them are still alive. And different zoos are trying to preserve those animals and keep them alive so they survive. Areas where they used to live are being more and more people and more things being built. They don't have room to live. And there are people that sometimes go and hunt them for something. They hunt rhinoceros or rhinoceri and cut off their horns because it's supposed to be some secret medicine. And then oftentimes the rhinoceros will die after he loses his horn. And they do different things to other animals, and so they're getting more and more rare. So zoos, in a way, work as kind of a modern-day ark to try to keep animals. I mean, a lot of the animals we see all over the place, right? Because they have deer, and they'll usually have turtles, and they'll have all sorts of other animals. But they also try to preserve and save animals that are endangered. So when you think about a zoo, think about the ark. And remember that at the end of all the things that happened, God sent what? A rainbow, and said that rainbow would remind him and us of the animals, but not to ever have another great flood like that, to where everything is destroyed. So let us pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for loving all of us. Help us to love others, especially your animals. We ask you to protect and save those who are endangered, and use zoos and people to care for your earth. All this we ask in Jesus' name. And all the people say, Amen. Thanks for coming up.
First reading comes from the book of Acts. Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with inscription, To an unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed everything, since himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him. Though indeed he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. The word of the Lord. The Psalms today is Psalm 66. Bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. He went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a spacious place. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, those that my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatlings with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for me. I cried aloud to him, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity with my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has given heed to the words of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love for me. The second reading comes from 1 Peter. Who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteousness for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of the God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. In these times, most folks are spending a lot more time at home and time together, trying to occupy themselves and keep their spirits up and adjust in some cases to being alone with each other a lot more often. It requires some adjustments to our routines and relationships sometimes. A woman came inside from the patio and found her husband in the kitchen shaking frantically, almost in a frenzy. Some kind of wire was running from him toward the electric kettle. Trying to figure out what to do, she grabbed a mop to hit him and knock him away from the current and try to save his life. She broke his arm. Up to that moment, he had been happily listening to his MP3 music player and trying to dance. That's why I don't dance anymore. A lot of adjustments we have to make in life. And easy to misunderstand things if we don't have all the information. One of the things we wanted you folks to understand this week, and we sent a letter out, was an explanation of the financial impact of this on the congregation. We know that a lot of people are facing challenges themselves financially, and that does have an impact on your ability to give and support the congregation. But we wanted you to know where we stood at this point, and that letter explains that. It explains that we are meeting minimal expenses at this time, but we are well behind our budget. We would ask that if you're able to support the congregation more than you are, or able to support it in some way financially, that you try to do that. You may mail those contributions in or drop them by the church office. And we will try to keep you updated regularly on the status of things. While the moment we're getting by, we also want to be sure that we're not getting too far behind, because we'll need to be able to meet the budget when we are able to find and call a full-time pastor to serve the congregation. So please be prayerfully considering what you can do and what you are comfortable doing in this time. Our scriptures today have potential for misunderstanding, but they're intended to encourage us and empower us. The first reading was really a famous story about Paul at the Areopagus. That area was also called Mars Hill. Areopagus, Greek, and Mars Hill, based on the Latin, it was named for the god of war. Paul, in that location, takes that opportunity to explain to the Greeks the God that we know and introduce them to God and Christ. Now, the thing about the Areopagus is that it not only was a temple to this particular war god, but there were also monuments there for a number of other gods, because the Greeks acknowledged all sorts of different gods. And they had one that was dedicated to an unknown god that came about because there had been a plague, and they had made offerings to all the traditional gods that they had, and the plague did not end. So they made this monument to an idol to an unknown god and made offerings to it in hopes of ending the plague. Paul uses that opportunity to an unknown god to say to them that he would proclaim to them that unknown god. And then he goes on to talk about who God is, why he believes God is the God, to talk about Jesus and the resurrection, and to say that in the end, this God will present a time of judgment. Now, for the Greek philosophers and others who were gathered there, many of them would have trouble with that idea, because they were intent on acknowledging all the different gods. And if someone only acknowledged one God, as Paul was urging, they would look on that person as what they call an atheist, that they fail to believe in all these different gods. But some of the people heard Paul, and they were interested, and they did want to know more, and they did seek to learn about who this Jesus was. Now, a number of years later, Peter wrote a letter to another congregation, and in that letter he was urging them to have hope. By that point in time, some of these differences between the early Christians and the people surrounding them had led to persecution, had led to mistreatment, had led to people being insulted and looked down on, and the world was getting more difficult. Plus, many of the early Christians were poorer people. Some of them, in fact, were slaves, and their lives were sometimes very difficult. They suffered for their faith, and they were in difficult circumstances. Peter is cautioning them that despite all these challenges, despite facing ridicule and rejection, they needed to remain faithful to Jesus. He reminded them in the same way Paul had reminded or shared with the people at the Areopagus who Jesus was and who God was, and that this grace and love would sustain them and God would watch over them. He is particularly concerned that in living their life, they not give other people reasons to condemn or judge them apart from their faith. That is, he wanted them to be faithful to Christ. He wanted them to live out their faith so that if people judged them or condemned them, it was because they failed to accept the word of Christ. They failed to believe, not because these followers of Christ did something wrong or did something poorly or mistreated other people. In a world of many lords and gods, these believers are to have only one Lord and to be ready to share the hope they have with those in the community of which they are a part. They are to remain above reproach, even if they're slandered by neighbors or even family members, because their beliefs were turning other people against them because they seemed to go against the societal norms of the day, the culture in which they were a part. This hope they held on to is that honorable behavior in the end will put to shame those who slander them. It's something we pray for today for Christians who are persecuted in parts of the world. The striking difference between us and those early Christians in this nation is that we are relatively free to worship. I mean, in this time, we have been asked not to gather in community in an effort to prevent the spread of disease. But despite that, we are free to believe and speak about what we believe. These early Christians were at great risk in doing that. It was important for Peter to help them remember the hope they had in Christ. He called it a living hope because that hope was for life in this world and the world to come. In the rest of 1 Peter, he talks about the example of Jesus to his readers and offers the story of Jesus' life to give them hope. In the passage we read today, which I talked about to the children earlier, Peter references the ark and Noah and the flood. And he sees in the flood a picture of baptism because, he said, the flood saved the people as baptism saves us. And he clearly says it's not because it cleans them physically or their body. It is because it washes away their sins through Christ. And in seeing it this way, and in seeing how God used that to communicate his grace and faith to the people, he is actually referencing a book called First Enoch, which spends a good bit of time narrating the story of Noah and his family. This was a Jewish book that's not part of our Bible. And he talked in there about the evil spirits, the Nephilim. These were angels who turned away from God, and it said married humans. And the result was a time of wickedness on the earth that led to the great flood. And Peter seems to draw a connection between this and Christ's time in the grave when he talks about Christ preaching to or sharing the gospel with these powers, these spirits that are imprisoned. Now, sometimes we associate that with Christ preaching to those who had died before his time. But a more common interpretation of this is that Jesus is preaching to these spirits, otherworldly spirits, that were imprisoned after the fall of the angels. And Peter wanted to use that as a way to impress upon the people to whom he wrote the importance of believing and following Christ and trusting God's patience and trusting that God had not abandoned them even in times of suffering. As Noah and the others had suffered in the sense of being locked into the ark, they were nevertheless in the midst of that suffering saved. And he wanted them to understand that. One of the challenges we have as Christians is there are those among the Christian church who have a different view of suffering. They say that God doesn't want any Christian to suffer, that if we just have enough faith, we will have all that we need. We can gain wealth and we'll be healthy. All it takes is having enough faith. That's not what Jesus taught. Peter and that early church knew a great deal about suffering, and they understood that following Christ could lead to suffering, that following Christ was not a way to get rich or a way to stay healthy. We call that today a prosperity gospel, that somehow if you follow Jesus, that you will be successful and wealthy. I had many years ago a man came to me in my first when I was in my first call at Christmas. He was out with his family, and they were living in his car. They wanted to stay in a hotel. His children, one of them at least, had what we would now call developmental disability. Another had some physical problems, and he had. He was from Arkansas or Alabama, somewhere out there, and he was going to try to get to relatives, is what he told me, and I can only go by what he told me. But he had had an auto parts store, independent little auto parts store in wherever the city was, and the big change came to town, and he ended up losing his business, and he lost his home, and he was now on the road trying to get to some relatives. With his wife and his two children, with everything they had left in that car. And he was actually very bitter toward the church. He had been a member of a church that preached that prosperity gospel. And so when he failed and his business failed, he saw that as a condemnation of him and a failure of God. And in that, he turned away from his faith. We talked a good bit, and I did what I could to help him. We provided a place for him to stay at a motel that I knew of, and we provided, I took food for him and his family to have, and gave him some money to have a part of his car fixed, and he was able to get it fixed the next day, and he went on his way. But I remembered him all these years, and it's been 25 or 30 years ago, because his experience of suffering led to him turning away from the church because he thought that was God's judgment or condemnation of him. God said not that we would never suffer, not that he would reward us with wealth or health or success, but that he would be with us in the midst of our suffering. And being with us in the midst of the suffering is how he is in all the things that come in our world. In the midst of the suffering of that early church, Peter called the congregation to a living hope. Hope in the midst of suffering and challenges and difficulties. If he called them in the midst of the oppression they faced to a living hope, surely he would call us in this time of oppression, not by some force or government or power, but rather by a disease. Surely he would say to us, keep hope and faith in the midst of all that comes. Jesus told his disciples that they should love one another, and that was our lesson just recently on Sunday morning, as he loved them. He is now continuing that call to love one another, but telling them that they will not be abandoned, that he will send a spirit to be with them when he is absent from them. a spirit that he calls the Paraclete, a word that means a number of different things, but maybe the best way to think of it is it means advocate, that the Holy Spirit will advocate for us to God, but the Holy Spirit also advocates to us for God. It advocates to us that we should have faith, that we should live as Christ calls us to live, that we should strive to follow Christ in all that we do, to love one another, and that the Holy Spirit will help empower us, even in times when it's a challenge for us to love. Jesus was our advocate when he was here, and when he left, he sent another advocate, the Holy Spirit. And truthfully, it's hard for us to live as Jesus wants us to live, apart from the power and gift of the Holy Spirit encouraging us, comforting us, consoling us, counseling us, empowering us to live as Christ would have us live. Part of the evidence of the Spirit's ongoing presence and power are the kind of things that happen. We live in a frightening time with loss of income and connection in life. We cannot underestimate that. But we also live in a time of sacrifice, generosity, encouragement, and more. We are inheritors of the Spirit. We are commissioned to do Christ's work and look for where the Spirit continues to be present and active in our lives and in the world. Where we do and see that Spirit work, whether by ourselves or by others, and where can we let the Advocate encourage us even more? This week, let the Holy Spirit help you find ways to hope and to serve in this time of pandemic. Find ways for scripture and prayer. Find time for scripture reading and prayer. And in those prayers, ask for guidance, peace, a way to witness that Christ would continue to give you a living hope in the future and in Christ's presence and grace among us. These days will not end suddenly or easily. It will take time to recover. In the midst of that, people will face losses and fear and anxiety. Let us, through Christ, seek to encourage ourselves and let the Holy Spirit work in us that we might in turn encourage others, that we retain this living hope and trust in Christ's grace and peace, and most especially Christ's presence in this time, that we can make a difference for Christ and that we can allow Christ to make a difference in us. Born anew to a living hope, we trust that Christ is here, that Christ will not abandon us, and however difficult the times come, Christ's presence can sustain us. Amen.
Please join me in saying what we believe in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Pray to save and all people according to their needs. Thank you, Jesus, for your faithful servants who have openly proclaimed that you are true God and true man, crucified and raised from the dead for the forgiveness of sin unto eternal life. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to teach, comfort, and guide us in your way forever. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that your one holy church always worships and proclaims you as Redeemer of the world. Fill it with your Spirit. Cause it to speak and act with gentleness and respect. Above all, kindle in the church such love for you that it beautifully keeps your commandments and draws many to faith in you. Lord, in your mercy. Come to the aid of your persecuted disciples throughout the world. Give your Spirit to missionaries of the gospel to strengthen and lead them as they bring many to faith in you. Guide and direct pastors, teachers, spiritual directors, and all who teach the faith to the next generation of believers. Bless all they do that glorifies your name. Lord, in your mercy. Give the members of this congregation the power and wit of St. Paul. Help us to relate to people around us with words and stories that connect with their lives. Make us abound in faith and good works, sharing these gifts with gentleness and respect. Empower us to share the hope that is in us and the love you bear for all creation. Lord, in your mercy. The end of a school year like no other approaches. Many of the traditions and rituals of the year have not happened. Graduation this year may include no gathering to celebrate. Be with graduates in this time and grant them your presence and grace. Give them wisdom as well as knowledge, focus as well as confidence, and virtue as well as ability in their chosen fields. Help them find jobs that use their skills to better this world, and keep their eyes fixed on the world to come. Lord, in your mercy. The late nations do not know you. They suffer because they are starving for your word of life, truth, forgiveness, and salvation. Unleash your Holy Spirit throughout the world so that our leaders may seek to obey your Father's will, and all those who blindly serve an unknown God may learn to love and serve you as Redeemer and Lord. Teach all of us to seek peace, do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly in your sight. Lord, in your mercy. Deal gently with all who are afflicted by pain, confusion, sorrow, remorse, or despair. Heal every hurt they have sustained. Especially we pray for those working on vaccines and treatments for the COVID-19 virus. For doctors, nurses, and all who are providing care and treatment for the sick. For those who are out of work, for small business owners. For farmers, ranchers, and all who produce, process, and transport our food. For all those who are on our prayer list as a congregation, bring them into a place of refreshment, health, hope, and wholeness. Give compassion, wisdom, and patience to everyone, and sustain them with your gracious Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Most holy Savior, we bless and adore you. You have promised life and salvation to all who trust in you. We commend to your care our beloved dead. Draw close to us and keep us in your care. Gather us with all your saints into your mighty arms and lead us into the life, light, and love you share with your Father and the Holy Spirit forever. Lord, in your mercy, we praise and magnify you, dear Jesus. Accept our prayers and lay them at the feet of your Father, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns gloriously as our Lord and God, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us pray. O God of justice and love, we give thanks to you that you illumine our way through life with words of your Son. Give us the light we need. Awaken us to the needs of others. and at the end bring all of the world to your feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. We pray as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespassers, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
We'll say our mission statement. As united people of God under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.